If you have your Bibles with you, please turn them to Matthew chapter 2. And we will read the first 12 verses, which is about the visit of the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, and I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God himself bless it. Here in our passage, we meet the wise men, or in Latin, they are called magi, or in Greek, magoi. As we study them, we need to remember that there are many things about them that we cannot be certain about. For instance, we don't know exactly where they came from. Yes, Matthew tells us that they came from the east of Jerusalem. But the question is, where exactly in the east of Jerusalem? Did they come from Persia, Iran today? Or did they come from Babylon, Iraq today? Both countries could be considered east of Jerusalem. The Bible is silent. We don't know. We also don't know how many there were wise men. Although in the famous Christmas carol, "We three kings of Orient are," there is an assumption that there were three wise men. Again, the Bible is silent. We don't know. Perhaps the reason why people think that there were three wise men is because they gave three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the Bible is silent as to their number. We don't know exactly how many wise men there were. We also don't know who they were. In the Christmas carol that I cited, there is also an assumption that they were kings. We three kings. But the Bible does not tell us whether they were kings or not. In fact, some scholars would argue that they were astrologers. The Bible is silent. We don't know. We are not also sure how they knew that the star was pointing to the place where Jesus was born. How did they know that? The Bible does not tell us how they learned that this star was going to guide them to where Jesus was born. It was possible that God Himself spoke to them in a very special way, telling them that this star would guide them all the way to Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and that place where Jesus was. The Bible is silent. So there are many things about the wise men that we cannot be certain about. However, there is one thing that we can be absolutely certain about them. And this is it. Listen carefully. When they came to Jerusalem from the east, they came to worship the King of the Jews. And that is crystal clear in our passage. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Where is he? Or let me read the last part of verse 1. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They have come to Jerusalem to worship him, to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to worship King Jesus, the King of the Jews, but also the King of the universe. So that we know for sure. And so with God's help, our theme in this message is wise worshipers. Because we call them wise men, but as we will see later, they are really wise worshipers. And what I'm going to do in my remaining time is give you five characteristics of their worship. And if you have the bulletin with you, you should have my 5 points. Wise worship, Christ-centered, costly, cheerful, courteous, and courageous. So let's look at our points one by one. So first of all, here we notice that their worship is Christ-centered. Now, look at verse 2 again. Matthew tells us that these wise men came to Jerusalem to worship him. So they have one mission in mind in coming to Jerusalem, and that is to worship the King of the Jews. Now, during this time, Jerusalem was the seat of government for King Herod the Great. But for the wise men, Jerusalem became a place of worship. And although they were from another country, whether they came from Babylon or Persia, they came from another country. They did not come to Jerusalem as observers or tourists. They did not come to Jerusalem to simply visit the place of Jerusalem. They didn't come to Jerusalem to look for the famous place there or to look for the famous person. No, they came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is a sense that they came to Jerusalem as tourists. And needless to say, maybe they were fascinated by the new place that they saw there, new environment. Now, we experience the same. If we visit a place, especially if that's our first time to be there, there is that sense of awe, amazement. Wow, beautiful. I want to see this place and that place. I want to meet that person and that person. And so we visit a place to be entertained. Now, these wise men did not come to Jerusalem to be entertained, but to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, and listen up please, some people today come to church not really to worship God, but to be entertained. If you are here this morning wanting to be entertained by our worship service, by the choir, by the preaching of God's word, by the sound of the organ or sound of the piano, or maybe by your fellow believers in Christ, if you are here to be entertained, you are in a wrong place. Because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a place for entertainment. Although what's sad today, in many churches today, that's their goal, to entertain people. And so worship service becomes an entertainment. The minister becomes an entertainer. The wise men came to Jerusalem not to be entertained, but to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't come either to observe this place or that place. They came intentionally to look for Jesus and worship Him. Again, some people today come to church merely as observers. They just sit there to observe what's happening inside the sanctuary. They want to observe the choir, and they love to look for mistakes. They observe the preaching, and they love to look for mistakes. They observe the color of the wall and the sound system. Oh, I pray that you are here this morning, not as an observer, but as a worshiper. As a worshiper. Now notice also, these wise men did not come to Jerusalem to be served, but to serve. Did you notice that? They wanted to serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they were looking for Him. They were not expecting Jesus, the King of the Jews, to worship or to serve them. No. They did not come wanting to be served. They came to serve. And there's a big difference there. Because, again, some people come to church because they want to be served. I want you, choir, to serve me and satisfy me. You, Mr. Preacher, I want you to satisfy me. You are there behind the pulpit to serve me. God, I am here this morning because I want you to serve me. And so your worship service, our worship service becomes self-centered. It centers on me, me, me. And that is wrong. That's why we call our worship service worship service. It's not be worship and be served. It's not passive, but active. Because we are here to actively worship and serve the Lord. And so as soon as we enter that sanctuary, this house of prayer, our first question should be like this. How can I serve you, God? I am here to serve you. How can I serve you? How can I serve my fellow believers in Christ? How can I serve those who are not yet in Christ? How can I serve? What can I give? Not what can I get? Because again, these wise men did not come to Jerusalem to get something from the King of the Jews. No, they came actually to give. That's why they brought gifts with them. Right, boys and girls? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, again, how often we come to church because we want to get something from God. We want to get a blessing, to receive a blessing from God. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's wrong. That's actually given. We are here to bless God and to be blessed by Him. But if our motive, if our only motive in worshiping God is to get something from Him, to be blessed by Him, then we don't really understand the true nature of worship service. Because worship is to realize the purpose for which God has created us. God has created us to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. And so that should be, by the grace of God, our motive this morning. To give to the Lord, not to get from Him. And here's the beauty, once you do that, once you come to give to the Lord, in giving to the Lord, there is a blessing. That's why even Jesus Himself tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you give your offerings to God, in reality, you are more blessed than those who receive. And so my question is this, why are you here this morning? Is it to give, primarily to give to the Lord, or to get from Him? Are you here to serve Him or to be served? Are you here as an observer or as a worshiper? Are you here because you want to be entertained? And if you have not been entertained after the service, you complain, right? People often complain, I don't like this and that. And when they say that, really what they mean is this, I have not been entertained. Because in the first place, you came with a wrong motive. Because if you came with a right motive to serve, then probably you should ask yourself, have I given enough to the Lord? Have I served enough? And so your complaint will not rest upon others, but maybe upon yourself. And so your worship service becomes less self-centered and more God-centered. And here too, we notice that these wise men, their minds are saturated by the Lord Jesus Christ, or with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did I say that? Because in verse 2, we read, as soon as they arrived in Jerusalem, the very first question they asked was this, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? Now, be honest. When you visit a place, a new place, you go to Paris, France, Rome, Italy, or wherever you go, you visit a place, don't we want to look for something interesting? Our question is this, where is the most famous place here? Where's the most famous person? Where's the tourist spot here? I want to visit that place. I want to see that person. Now, the wise men did not do that because their minds were saturated. They were preoccupied with King Jesus. And so as soon as they arrived in Jerusalem, the first question that they asked, where is Jesus? Where is the King of the Jews? I want to worship Him. We want to serve Him and worship Him. It's like this. As soon as you entered this sanctuary, your question would be like this. Where is Jesus here? Where is Jesus in the message? Where is Jesus in the songs that the choir have sung? Or where is Jesus in our hymns and psalms? Where is Jesus? I want Jesus. Or maybe your first question is He here? Is He so-and-so here? Is she here? Where is she? Where is He? Or where is Jesus? I want Jesus. You know, interestingly, the wise men did not care about King Herod, who would be considered famous during his time, because like what I said, Jerusalem was the seat for government for King Herod. But they didn't care about King Herod. They wanted King Jesus. I want King Jesus because I came here to worship Him and Him alone. So their worship service is Christ-centered. Secondly, their worship is costly. Costly. Now, the wise men came from the east. Again, we don't know exactly which part of the east of Jerusalem. Whether they came from Babylon or Persia, they had to pay a price in order to worship Jesus. And the price, mind you, was costly. They had to make a sacrifice in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, they had to sacrifice their time. Their time. Now, boys and girls, during this time, if you were to travel from either Babylon or Persia, you had to travel for thousands of miles to get to Jerusalem, to get to Bethlehem, to see Jesus there. Thousands of miles. They also had to sacrifice their energy. Their energy. Again, there was no car. Now, in our modern time, we can get to church so conveniently, right? If it is cold, you just turn on your heat in the car. If it is warm outside, then you turn on your AC. Now, most likely these wise men traveled either by donkey or camel to get to Jerusalem for thousands of miles. Imagine how long it took them to get there. And they also had to sacrifice their money. It was not cheap to make that journey. They had to eat. They probably had to stay in an inn, in a place. They had to, for sure, spend this and that. And also, they brought gifts with them. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And yet, when we read this narrative, we did not hear them complain. None of them said, "Oh, what a long journey, so tiring, so exhausting. Oh, I wish we had not done this." No, they did not complain. Why? Because they were willing to make a sacrifice for the sake of King Jesus. Now, my question is this. Are you willing to make a sacrifice? Now, mind you, worship service is not cheap. It is costly. First of all, you need to wake up early in the morning. If you have small kids, young parents, you know what it means. Just to prepare. You need to wake up early, prepare for their breakfast. And as you do that, there is a mini argument there among the kids. You get here, you need gas. Your time, your energy. You don't want to worship God half awake. Like, you don't want to worship like this. You want to give your best. You don't want to come to worship service sleepy. With a brain, with a mind wandering. Do you want that? Is that the kind of service that you want to render to Jesus, to King Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who died on the cross, who made a sacrifice for us? He made a sacrifice for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, Jesus had been on the cross for approximately 6 hours, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and yet he did not complain. In fact, as we just read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he was on the cross with joy because he knew that that was the only way for you and me to be saved, for him to die on the cross. So yes, he made a sacrifice, but his sacrifice was mingled with joy. And I pray too that this morning, We make sacrifices. It's not easy, even for you to sit there. If you are so used to standing up and working, doing something, to sit for 35 minutes or 40 minutes under the preaching, it's not also easy for me. You think that it's easy for me to preach. I have to prepare. I have to wrestle with God. I have to spend time praying, asking the Lord, Lord, help me. It's not easy for me to stand here. It's not easy for you. We all make sacrifices. As we worship God, worship service is not free. It is costly. And yet my question is, are we willing to make a sacrifice for the sake of King Jesus? You know, David Livingstone, he was a missionary from Scotland. He went to Africa, and on one occasion, he was asked, Mr. Livingstone, how many sacrifices have you made for the Lord since you came to Africa? You know what he said? I never knew a sacrifice. It was all a privilege. Oh, I love that reply. I never knew a sacrifice. It was all a privilege. In other words, when I went to Africa, hungry, when I left my really nice life in Scotland to serve the indigenous people there in Africa, especially those people who wanted to kill me because they didn't understand the gospel yet. All the sufferings, the pain that I had to go through, they were not really sacrifices, but privileges. Think about this. If we also think that way this morning, you sing the choir, right? You sing, you imagine how many hours you spent. A sacrifice, but you can call it a privilege. We are here. We are making a sacrifice, but in reality, it is an honor for us to stand before King Jesus. Imagine the honor that these wise men had at that moment to be with Jesus, to have a very special worship service. So their worship is costly. Let me add this. Their worship is cheerful. Cheerful. It's joyful. How did they know that? Look at verses 9 and 10. Read verses 9 and 10. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where Jesus or the child was. And listen up, please. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, listen to this. The wise men, they have not yet seen Jesus. They have just seen the star standing over where Jesus is. But according to Matthew, they already rejoice with exceeding joy, with great joy. It's like this. If I may help you capture the sense here, you're driving, right? You're driving. You're not yet inside the house of prayer. You have just seen the signboard, Walker United Reformed Church service. You have just seen that signboard, and there is already that sense of joy because you know that you are close to the place of worship. You are about to meet God in His house. And when you actually came inside His house, there is that much greater joy because you know that you are worshiping the God of this universe, the God who sent His Son for you, the God who loved you so much. So the wise men rejoiced when they saw the star, because they knew they were close to the place where Jesus was. You know, when King Herod heard about this, about the birth of the King of the Jews, his reaction was the exact opposite of the wise men. He did not rejoice. In fact, according to verse 3, he was upset when Herod the king heard this, when he heard the gospel, when he heard about the birth of Jesus, King Jesus, he was troubled. He was troubled, or in the original, he was upset. He was upset with Jesus. Why? Because he saw Jesus as a competitor, as a rival. He wanted to be the king of Jerusalem, of the Jews. And so really there are two types of people in this world: those who rejoice in Christ and those who are upset with Christ. And if you notice too, the reason why the wise men rejoiced with exceedingly great joy was because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it should be Jesus who should gladden our hearts as we worship Him. Yes, it is good we can rejoice with all the blessings that we can enjoy. We may not realize how blessed we are this morning. We are worshiping in a beautiful sanctuary. We have copies of the Word of God, hymn books. We have a nice choir, nice piano and organ. Wonderful. We have so much blessings. But what if the Lord take all those blessings? Do we still have the reason to rejoice? Are we still going to worship Him with exceeding great joy? Well, if Jesus is the main reason of your worship service, and if He is the main reason of your joy, then you still have the reason. And that's precisely what we see here. Jesus has become the joy of their worship service for the wise men. You know, one of our problems is this. And you know what? Before I mention that problem, let's move to my fourth point. Courteous, or reverential worship. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, please. And going into the house, so now they are inside the house where Jesus is. So they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worship Him. They did what they wanted to do from the beginning. As soon as they saw Jesus, the child, they fell down. In fact, that's the meaning of the word worship in the original. To fall down before someone. They fell down, and they fell down to show their reverence to Jesus. Now think about this. Now, again, we don't know exactly how old they were, the wise men. But it is safe to assume that they were adults during this time. They were adults. And that Jesus was a child. And so picture this scenario. You have adults, wise men, bowing down before a child. The King Jesus. Now, when they did that, for sure they did it with faith. With faith. Because they had not yet met King Jesus. That was their first time. It was the star who guided them, who told them that this star, okay, through this star you would find the King of the Jews. Now they were probably thinking of a nice place. Because, okay, logically, if this is the king, he should have been born in a palace, not in this humble place, right? But they did not question that. Do you get what I mean here? They did not say, wrong place. No, they did say, what? We made the journey all the way from the east, and this is what we're going to find? A child? Is this the king of the Jews? Look at this place. It's so stinky here. This is not a royal place. This is a humble place, not suitable for this child. But they believed. They believed God's message. And so they bowed down before him, and they worshiped Jesus, and they gave him presents. Even if it would be awkward for them, for adults, to bow down before that King Jesus, that child. Now, what you notice here is this. There is a combination of joy and reverence. Reverence and joy. Now, in our Reformed circle, I think we have reverence. That's one of the features of our culture that we can appreciate. I've been to many Reformed churches. That's one thing that I really appreciate, reverence. That's wonderful, which is lacking in many churches, especially evangelical churches. There is no reverence for the Lord. But on the other hand, I think we can learn from other churches. Because if we have reverence, I think we lack joy. We're not really expressive in our worship service. Remember the wise men, when they saw Jesus, in fact, they had not yet seen him, they just saw the star where Jesus was, or the star standing where Jesus was, they already rejoiced with exceeding joy. So joy and reverence. And I think we can learn from the wise men here that in our worship service, we don't need to be afraid to express our joy. We don't need to be afraid to reveal what is inside our heart. If there is joy overflowing because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, show it. Don't be afraid about what others might say to you or about you. You know, in our worship service, we're so afraid. We want to worship like this. Don't want to have that freedom. And say, Lord, thank you. I worship you. I'm happy. I'm happy that I am in your house this morning. I am filled with joy, O God, because of what you have done for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for salvation. This gift, eternal gift, it's overflowing in my heart. I just want to worship you this morning. And even when we sing hymns or psalms about joy, there's no joy in our face. I think what we need is reverential joy and joyful reverence. Finally, their worship is courageous. Courageous. Look at verse 12. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. You know the story. So King Herod said to the wise men, you go to Bethlehem. And once you find the child, come back to me because I want to worship him too. But we know that he wants to kill the child. God knows about that. And so God himself told the wise men, don't go back to King Herod. And so we read here, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, do you know what they just did? Do you know what the wise men just did? They just committed a crime in the eyes of King Herod. They disobeyed King Herod. Punishment? Death. But they did not care. The wise men did not care. Why? Because their worship is courageous. they were courageous enough to worship Jesus. Here in our context, we may not appreciate my last point, but when we think of our brothers and sisters in the Lord in the Middle East, in Iran, Syria, Pakistan, in China, North Korea, where they don't have freedom of religion or freedom of worship, in a place where even just to recite the Apostles' Creed means death, you know, for them to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ our Lord, you recite that in public, you be dead, you be arrested. Here we're so blessed, we have this freedom. But our brethren elsewhere, they worship God so courageously, because they love God. They are willing to meet underground. I was watching this film, based on a true story in China, where Christians would gather together, and when they sing, they sing silently. Like, imagine singing Amazing Grace just like this. Because they are afraid that once they sing aloud, the government will hear them and they will be arrested. And here you see the full sound of the organ. We can just sing, right? Express that worship service with joy. And we don't take advantage of that. And I'm afraid that the time will come that God will take that blessing away from us. And then we will realize how blessed we have been, or we were. We have no idea how blessed we are this morning as worshipers. And so I pray that we will worship God to the best of our ability, with all our heart, mind, and soul, to the glory of His name. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for the lives of these wise men who have taught us many things about worship service. Yes, there are many things that we do not know about them. But one thing we know for sure is that they are wise worshipers, true worshipers of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be true worshipers, even this evening or this morning. Thank You for the challenge of Your word. We confess that by nature, O God, we don't want a challenge. But Lord, we thank You that Your word is so powerful, like a double-edged sword, can penetrate into our hearts. But Lord, we thank You for reminding us. And may our worship service be Christ-centered even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.